Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host Lily Mensah-Yeboah and the multifaceted Mr. Joe Sinclair has joined me on the magic sofa. I'm very excited. Joe, thanks for stopping by. Where do you find the time?
I always find time for you, Lily.
Oh, thank you. No, but seriously, you're a very, very busy man.
Very busy. But last week I had an absolutely fabulous week and staying in a meditation and yoga retreat in the Sierra Nevada mountains in Andalusia, southern Spain. And this actual place had no Wi-Fi and no phone signal.
Heavy.
So I couldn't do any work. And that was probably a good thing. And yeah. It was very relaxing. And it set me up for getting back into corporate London.
The tea.
I've got into a very strange habit of wanting to try every type of herbal tea flavour there is.
Oh.
And as there's probably not enough time in life, I tend to put two different flavours, two tea bags in the same cup, just to see what they taste like. Like, I think what was today's, I put a cherry flavour in with a ginger and lemon.
Sounds fabulous. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I love this program. I pick up all sorts of weird and wonderful things on here. Now, before we get going, let's hear a little bit about the brand named Joe Sinclair. He's an author and his latest book is 100 Tips for Total Life Fulfillment. He's a management consultant and has worked for some great brands. He wants to do his bit for the world and amongst other things, he actually plays the guitar. That's what I was asking him earlier on, how he finds the time. To me, you know, he looks good from every angle and I might even ask him to play the guitar if he brought one with him.
I wish there was one in my briefcase, but it wouldn't fit.
Oh, don't mind. Maybe another time. I'll grab you another time, Mrs. Sinclair. You know me. I never give up. Tea with Lily is the social enterprise arm of Lynx Media. It's a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. The aim of the program is to give your brand a voice. Now, Joe, you've done so well thus far. What brought you here, this sort of thing where you want to help? You help major corporations.
The interest for me is just new place, new job, new challenge, new problems to solve.
Yeah.
And that's what gives me a buzz.
That's great. So you've worked for some household names such as Marks and Spencer's, The Prue, Thomas Cook, etc. How has that, everything that you've learned, helped you in what you're doing today?
Experience has shown me that the problems are all very, very similar. Mm. And it doesn't matter if it's a retail store or an automotive or an industrial firm or a finance firm. In the end, the problems, they might say it in a different way, but it's all the same problems.
Mm.
And from experience, the main problem is a breakdown of communication.
Ah.
Either between individuals or between departments.
Yes.
Or between sections of the business. And I think what I've been good at is actually reconnecting people and making them talk to each other and talk about the problems. So I don't solve their problems. I just facilitate them to solve their own problems.
Okay.
And what I've found over the years is what brought me the greatest fulfillment and pleasure myself was helping people.
Yes.
And that's why my management consultancy led me into life coaching.
Yes.
Because I found I could help people in the office with their corporate problems and I got a buzz out of helping them solve their own personal problems. And my book, 100 Top Tips for Total Life Fulfillment, is really the 100 tips that I would give individuals. What really works. Follow the tips and you will help yourself to design your own perfect life.
So again, it's very much about for most people, the problems are similar or around the same thing and you help them, you facilitate them helping themselves.
Yeah, and in a nutshell, there are, all over the world, there are bank officials who really want to be carpenters. Or there are people who work in marketing who want to run their own flower shop,
yeah.
Or people who want to do pottery, or people who want to do creative things,
yes.
But they're stuck in a corporate office.
Yes.
it's like their subconscious keeps telling the bank manager, you know, you want to be a carpenter. And he ignores it. He ignores the little voice because it's buried in the subconscious. So because these people build up a level of frustration, what I try and do as a life coach is almost like therapy. I use techniques for them to tap into their own subconscious.
Yeah.
And the joyful moment for me is after 3 or 4 sessions with a client, they often suddenly come out with it and say, I'm in the wrong job. I should be a such and such.
Yeah.
And that's their moment of revelation. And all I've done is help them on that to find what they want to do with their life. And then they have to make a tough choice of whether they're willing to.
Yeah. Okay. So that's... tell me one thing that you do well and what's the secret?
I think other people would tell me what I do well. I don't know what I do well. I try to do my best. I think what other people say about me, which is very, 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 very encouraging and very nice, is they say Joe always keeps his promises.
Yeah.
And I think that's true because that's one of my personal principles. That if I say to someone, yes, I'll help you with this, or yes, I'll do that for you, or yes, I'll send you such, or whatever, I make sure I do it.
Yeah.
And I think people recognise that because other people sometimes promise things and don't deliver.
And I will attest to that. So, yeah, I agree. I would be one of the people that will probably say that anyway. So, Joe, you know, you've had some highlights and all over the place, but what are the wonderful highlights that you've had, whether they be career related or just personal ones?
Solving corporate problems is okay for a living, but doesn't really fire me up.
Yeah.
So it's more the personal achievements that I'm proud of. And I think probably top of the list would be that when I left school, I had an ambition to go to university. My parents, being from a different generation, had a different view of education, further education, and wanted me to go out and get a job.
Okay.
So they said they could not support me financially and they didn't want me to go to university. And I had a huge, huge falling out with them. You know, got over it with friends afterwards. But at the time, it was a huge blow to me. And on the same day that I'd had the offer from the university and they told me I couldn't go, I walked around to my local library, picked up a leaflet on Open University, signed it and sent it off in the post first class the same night.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my degree in geology and archaeology the hard way through the Open University, studying evenings and weekends.
Fantastic. I'm an alumni as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not alumnus.
Alumni, whatever.
Alum, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, no, not that I didn't know that. I should know that, but I didn't know that. Oh, well, you probably didn't know that about me.
No.
Yeah, there
and,
you go.
I mean, other things was I was very proud to mountain bike the 400-mile length of the Grand Canyon for charity in the year 2000 to raise money for children with cerebral palsy. And also I volunteered to project manage the building of a hospice for the terminally ill in Swindon, and I raised £1 million just by myself to fund it, and it was built, and now it's full of patients and it gives them a much better quality of life. So that was the very proud.
So we got a plaque saying, you know, you were there and you helped this and that.
Hasn't got a plaque, but it's got a picture in there of me shaking hands with Prince Charles, who opened the centre, thanking me for raising the funds.
Fantastic. That's great. What would you have said to your 16-year-old self?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think between 16 and 18, I only had one ambition, and that was to be a rock guitarist.
Woohoo!
With leather trousers, long hair, black mascara, and a loud guitar. And actually, that's what I did for 2 or 3 years. So I actually had a band, and we played all around the Brighton and Sussex area.
Okay.
And that was great fun. In fact, going back to the previous thing with my parents, when I said I wanted to go to university, my mother, growing up in a very poor part of West of Ireland, her response was, most students at universities are long-haired, guitar-strumming hippies. And I guess I was.
Yeah.
So I've got to hand that to her. She was right in that context.
This is Tea with Lily, guys, and I'm here with the multifaceted Jo Sinclair, who is an entrepreneur with a passion for saving the planet before it's too late, as well as writing books, playing guitar and juggling numerous projects. Now, Mr. Jo, tell us about the work that you do today.
Well, I'm in transition mode now.
Okay.
For the next few days, I'm finishing my last ever corporate project in London.
Okay.
And then my game plan from now on is to spend 50% of my time working from home in the Cotswolds, and the other 50% of the time in Tuscany in Italy.
Which is where I'd like to come and visit.
Lovely place, especially this time of year.
Yeah, I can imagine. From now on, obviously, before I'd say what would be a typical client, and you'll say perhaps, you know, whether M&S or Fortune, you know, 500. But now your client will probably look completely different.
The job is totally different. Mm. Everything about it is totally different from the past. In 2 weeks from now, I will be dancing as I throw the pinstripe on the floor, whipping the tie off and the cufflinks, and getting ready for a new life. So yeah. This is a very big transition, but I'm really, really excited because applying my own life coaching skills to myself, I'm now going to change to do what I want to do.
Yes.
For the rest of my life, rather than the work I've been doing for the last 30 years.
So you'll be retiring ungracefully?
I don't think I'll ever be retiring.
Yeah, exactly. So, for instance, in terms of helping other people find what, you know, what their God-given talents are, for want of a better expression, imagine that, you know, there's a typical client who's lost their way, not sure whether they're the right job, like you say, you speak to people. How would you coach them to get from A to B? Maybe they've been in a corporate job for 20 years, salary's brilliant, they've got, you know, the family, 2.4 kids. How would you coach that person?
Well, a lot of people have misconceptions about what coaches can do or can't do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people go to a life coach because they think they can solve all their problems at a stroke. The reality is the coach can only ever be a facilitator because change has to come from within.
Yes.
So what a good life coach will do is actually help a person to find their own inner resources that they haven't perhaps tapped into before.
Ah.
The answer to everyone's problems are within themselves.
And it's scary.
It's very scary because what happens in a typical scenario is someone has a bad day at work, they go home, they pour a glass of wine, and they start to think about, I want to get out of this life or this job. I want a new life that really rewards me and fulfills me. And the conscious mind says, no, you don't. You're earning a big salary. You're doing well. Everything's all right. Stop moaning.
Yeah.
And the subconscious mind is trying to get a word in edgeways, and it's saying, and the life coach's job is to tell the ego or the conscious mind to shut up for a minute and let the person tap into their subconscious. Take a seat, take time out, and let the subconscious have a moment to get its word in.
Yeah.
But it won't happen if the conscious mind supersedes the subconscious.
Interesting stuff, people. So, Jo, you wear several hats, such as a writer, project manager, hypnotherapist, Reiki healer, musician, entrepreneur. Oh, entrepreneur, I like that word. But people don't like it. It's too, apparently, entrepreneur is so last year. I don't even know what the new word is for that thing. Which one of them is your favourite career pastime?
I think, for me personally, What's happened is that I've always had a very spiritual side to myself, and that's actually led me by following those signposts to the job I'm undertaking in Italy.
The calling, Joe. Yeah. The calling.
The calling.
It's not a
it's
job.
It's not a job.
It's a calling.
Thank you, Lily.
I'm looking for a similar calling. Maybe you can coach me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you do get to meet some famous and powerful people, Jo, and you've met quite a few.
Mm.
Do you ever quake in your boots and think, oh my God, I'm standing next to... So you explained that you were you stood next to Prince Charles. How do you feel when you meet these famous people?
I've never been fazed by fame. I don't know why. There's no rationale for it. But
I guess you're famous in your own right.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, because I want to hear your story. I want to hear your voice. I want to share your some of the things that you put through across in the book. It's so simple, but we never actually look at them. Tip number 64, you know, seize the day today, because by tomorrow, today will be lost forever. We're so scared of what might happen tomorrow. We don't even make a decision about today.
No.
We don't seize today because we're worried about tomorrow. And it's those sort of simple things that we have. And sometimes I think we forget to reel ourselves or our egos back from and say, we are here today, and let's work on today rather than carrying on and chasing tomorrow, never getting to tomorrow because we haven't finished with today.
That's so true. What happened last week, talking about having a break from corporate London to go on a meditation yoga retreat, is living in the moment is part of that experience.
Mm.
And one of the exercises last week with the spiritual teacher was actually taking time to do things that we don't normally do. Or it could be a petal on a flower, or it could be an insect or a blade of grass. But actually taking 10 solid minutes to focus on the beauty of nature in a very, very precise, focused way with no distraction is a life-changing experience.
Mm.
And it's all about living in the moment and not thinking about what you did yesterday or what you're going to do tomorrow, but just leaving your mind clear to focus on a beautiful part of nature. And we don't do that enough.
We don't allow ourselves to do that.
No.
There's almost a sort of magic. Guilt. The guilt attached to it, I should be doing something else. I should be so busy that, you know, I'm running and, you know, it should be sweat running down my face just to show that I'm worth being on this earth.
Yeah.
So, Joe, tell us, it can't all be work, work, work. So what do you do for fun? What's your guilty pleasure?
If I surround myself with nature, natural beauty, particularly mountains or woodland.
Yeah.
That in itself recharges my batteries.
Yes.
And if I don't get a good dose of being close to nature every week, then I struggle.
That's great. Being close to nature is your guilty pleasure. I like that. Charity. We all support charities for various reasons. Joe, which charities do you support and why?
Probably the most consistent one is I've been with Greenpeace since the early 70s, when they started, really.
Okay.
Because I really think what they do and the way they do it is so focused. And recently started my own charity on the back of a book that I'm halfway through writing called Earth Pulse. The concept behind Earth Pulse is that when we measure the pulse of a person, it gives us an indication of their state of general health.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to find a way of measuring the health of the planet.
Okay.
So Earth Pulse is all about having a set of criteria, how we measure the health of the planet, how polluted it is, how much corruption, how much poverty, how much climate change.
Mm.
And by keeping our finger on that pulse, we can tell how the planet as a whole is doing. Okay. And my book is about that subject, Earth Pulse. It should be published next year.
So, Joe, thank you so much for that. How can our listeners connect with you if they want further advice, whether it's to save the planet or just helping them achieve their dreams?
I'm on email at jstclr@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my mobile is 0775-435-729 if anyone wants to give me a call and introduce themselves.
Okay, introduce themselves to Mr. Sinclair and let him take your spiritual pulse, take your professional pulse. You're almost like a doctor.
I'm not sure. Maybe a planetary doctor or something.
Yeah,
like that,
because it could be that, you know, career-wise, you know, you help to diagnose things. You could look at it like that. I mean, I'm sure maybe in 10 or 15 years time, there could be something like that where it's not about your physical ailment. It's not about your psychological ailment. It's about the fact that you're in the wrong job, and that in itself is an ailment.
Yeah, absolutely right. And of course, I've got a Facebook, Joseph Dell. I'm on Facebook as well.
Okay. Now, can we have three tips of that you think might help people to find total life fulfillment?
Just three out of 100. Okay. I think my top three tips for almost everybody is, number one, find your own passion or your own calling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be influenced by what other people tell you, whether it's friends or whether it's family or relations or your boss who says, you should do this, you should do this. Ignore all that, because it's only your inner spiritual soul, which is again your subconscious, that really knows the answer. It's already there inside. And if you can find your true calling, what you were born to do, why you're on this planet, and you follow that, you'll never find more happiness.
Second one?
My second one would be to look after body, mind and soul, and treat all three with equal focus. So look after what you put into your body. Look at what sort of food you're eating, what you're drinking, how you're treating your body exercise-wise. And just the more you look after your physical health, then the more happy years you'll spend on this planet.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And equally, look after your mind. Keep your mind healthy. Think. Don't be distracted by what's awful news in the media. Try and focus on the positives in life.
Can I add to that tip?
Of course.
The news. I try not to watch the news late at night. The 10 o'clock news is not good for me.
No.
Because news in itself. So because if you are lucky enough to get the 6-7 o'clock news, you can find other positive things around life too. Add to that before you go to bed. But if the last thing you do, or close to the last things that you do, is watch all this horror
unfolding,
it stays in the mind, and sleep. And I do love my sleep, Joe.
Yeah.
I sleep like a baby.
Yeah. You'll sleep better.
I don't want anything to get in the way of that.
No, don't watch the news. Drink your chamomile tea. You'll be fine.
Yes.
And the last one is, and I think people forget this one, is that if you can imagine a circle divided into three,
mm-hmm.
there's body, mind and soul, or spirituality. And I think some people do look after their mind and their body, but they forget their spiritual self. The undercurrent is a spiritual realm, that by tapping into that and embracing what's just beneath the surface of everyday mundane life, if you can tap into that spirituality, which everyone has, then that can be probably even more fulfilling than anything you'll find in the conscious mind. Equally important is my last tip, number three, which is try and accept and understand, even if your rational mind argues with it, that absolutely everything in this world is connected. And every month, the new findings in quantum physics are showing that at a molecular and atomic level, we're absolutely all connected. We're connected to nature, we're connected to each other, we're connected to the planet, we're connected to the universe, we're connected to animals. And just because it's not an obvious connection, we see ourselves as a separate entity. But I think the more people in the world that wake up to realising how connected we are, the more that is going to stop violence and poverty and corruption, because it's one people, one world, one universe, one common goal. And once we actually feel that in our heart, not just as a rational kind of scientific thing, once we actually realise it in our heart, then that makes us very content. And we realise that it's everyone's mission to look after everyone else.
So we are all connected in this world, in the universe. That's
very
the final.
Much so.
And it's not all about, I'm all right, Jack, so, don't care about
absolutely
you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Okay. So the tips are, find your passion and calling, tip number one. Look after body, mind and soul. And the third one is understanding, get an understanding that everything in this world is intimately connected. So, Joe, book is good, but I'm working through it. I hope I can quote from it, and I think I have actually quoted a couple of things from it on Twitter. And one of it that jumped out at me on page 71 was, "It's nice to be important, but don't forget that it's more important to be nice."
I love it.
And the final one, the tip number 100, yeah, which is my challenge for 2016.
Okay.
Because we're galloping closely towards that destination. Ask yourself some tough questions. Question number 4, if you could devote your life to serving others and still have the money and lifestyle you desired, what would you do? What would you really love to do, and how would this look and feel to you? Mm-hmm. Joe, I have no idea, but I'm going to make it my mission to find out next year. How about that? That's my challenge.
Find a good life coach.
Oh, I can see Mr. Joe coaching me real soon. But thank you very much. It makes you think. Your book makes you think, mm-hmm, about what is it that you're here for? What are you doing to make yourself better, and then therefore making other people feel better? And that's what I took from your book.
That's wonderful.
It's really good.
Now, can I say one last thing?
Yes, sir.
I didn't mention what my job is in Italy, what I'm going there to do.
No, it's a calling, my dear. It's a calling.
You're right. See, I need some coaching too. I'm very, very excited to be working with a wonderful, wonderful man called Mr. Irvin Laszlo.
Okay.
Who, at 85 years old, has published his 90th book this year. He's been twice nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. He's been an ambassador to the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, very highly regarded. He's the sort of guy... Well, he is the guy that people like the Dalai Lama and Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey would go to for advice. And okay. he's the main man. And I'm working with Irvin, and Irvin has created this wonderful research institute in the hills of Tuscany, which is devoted into research into saving the planet in all different aspects, and raising awareness and raising human consciousness and building a global community. And to my absolute shock and delight, he's asked me to be managing director of the institute.
Why are you shocked?
Because I had no idea he would ask me that when he took me to show me around.
You deserve it.
I can't wait to start. So yeah. my job in a few weeks' time will be running this beautiful research institute in Tuscany, working with the great Irvin Laszlo, and doing what I can to make a difference. And yeah. I'm very excited.
Irvin Laszlo. So, Joe, more famous people and you're not fazed by them. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come and sit on the magic sofa with me and tell me about your life. It sounds like an amazing and exhilarating journey that you've had. And you get to have a second, maybe third chance to recalibrate your life.
Life is an exciting journey, and every day it's great to wake up and find out what it's going to throw at you next and just embrace it and go for it.
Can I come and ask you, say, in a year's time, to come and sit back on this sofa and tell me how your year in Tuscany has been?
Well, come out and see me in Tuscany.
Joe Sinclair, look after yourself, and may your travels be rewarded with everything that you wanted to do. And until next time, keep smiling and always walk good. Thank you.